Oh. Good morning, everyone. So are we all in on doing this chalice lighting, the one we did yesterday and the day before together? You got the motions down? All right, here we go. So, and let's all say it together. We light our chalice to celebrate Unitarian Universalism. This is the church of the open mind. This is the church of the helping hands. And this is the church of the loving heart. May it ever be so.
From John O'Donohue. Now is the time to free the heart. Let all intentions and worries stop. Free the joy inside the self. Awaken to the wonder of your life. Open your eyes and see the friends whose hearts recognize your face. Those whose kindness, watchful and near, encourage you to live everything right here. Let us join together in meditation on breathing and stand in body or spirit.
Breathe out, breathe in,
Let us join in a spirit of meditation with this Buddhist prayer of peace. May we become at all times, both now and forever, a guide for those who have lost their way, a bridge for those who have rivers to cross, a sanctuary for those in danger, a lamp for those who need light, a place of refuge for those without shelter, and a servant to all those in need. Let us enter into the silence.
I'm ready.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, the question is,
what is hard to accept about myself?
I'm answering the question about what's hard for me to accept about myself.
So today's question is,
what do I find it hardest to accept about myself?
I think the hardest thing to accept about myself is that I can sometimes be like really lazy and unmotivated and cynical both at the same time, which is like a really bad combination.
I wish I were in better physical shape. I would like to have more time to work out, to run, to lift weights. And every week I think this is the week, but most of the time it doesn't happen. Maybe next week.
I judge people. That's the worst part. It's, who am I to judge people? But I do it, and I just catch myself and say, stop that.
The thing I find hard to accept about myself is how I look and sound on camera.
What is hard to accept about yourself?
Sorry.
I'm impatient.
I can't live up to people's expectations, and I disappoint them.
I struggle in school because I have ADHD and various stuff like that. And I get, like, kind of, like, interpreted as stupid a lot. So then when I actually do something good, I always doubt how good it actually is.
As odd as it may sound, I feel that it's hard to accept that I am worthy of love and that I deserve to be happy.
I always feel like I should be doing more, should be doing more, should be doing more. And I never feel like I'm enough.
One of the things I've struggled with accepting and embracing is my body. I'm not entirely comfortable with, my own skin.
What's hard to accept about myself and what I feel is a particularly unattractive quality in myself is the tendency to sometimes get very jealous and possessive of some of my closest friends. It's hard for me to form lasting and deep bonds with people, and if I'm very good friends with a woman who then becomes very close to someone else, I do find myself feeling a little bit jealous, a little green with envy about the time not shared with me.
So I'm going to answer the question, what is it to... No, I'm not. What is hard to accept about yourself?
What has been very hard for me to accept about myself is that I have too many cats. I love all the cats. I don't want to admit how many cats I have. Well, all right, I have 25 cats. Most of them live outdoors inside a cat fence that I put up. And I love all the cats because they're all special. Every cat matters, and they're all part of the natural world that we live in. And it's very easy to acquire cats and very difficult to send them on their way where they will live happy lives.
What's hard for me to accept about myself is my power. And I've learned to give away my power, unfortunately, and I'm ashamed of the power I get from being male in a male-dominated world. I'm ashamed of the power I get from being white in a racist world and being heterosexual in a homophobic world. And of being rich in a world that has a lot of poverty. And so it's hard for me to... So unfortunately, I've internalized those things, and it's made me ashamed of my power. And what I'm trying to learn is to step into my power, the power that I have from being the good person that I am, and the power to change the world and to be myself and to share love with others. And that's what I'm all about.
It wasn't until I turned 40 that I had to go through a major realization and a plunge to find out, even get on the boat to who I am. So a lot of the things that I've kind of just thrown away from myself were actually walls, things to protect that nice caramelly center of myself.
The hardest thing to accept about yourself?
I think probably that I can't make everybody happy, and I just have to understand that. What about you?
I think probably that not everybody's going to like me. I mean, sometimes I think I'm likable, but I don't get like cocky with it. But I have met people that don't like me, and I'm okay with that. I just kind of just slowly revolve the way.
And I work on that, and it's not something I am proud of, but it's something I'm aware of and I know I need to keep working on, because there's certainly room enough in my heart for everyone.
Well, I guess that would be that I'm not perfect.
But there's still things in me that are very hard to accept. One of them is that I always have to have a happy ending.
So if anybody wants a cat, I have a very good selection.
Like a shining light, we'll brighten the world, we'll
in the lonely with friendship, right in the painful with comfort, right in the anger with calmness, right in despair with hope, right in the taking with giving, right in the doubting with trusting, right in the evil with goodness, right in the hatred with love. Like a shining light,
like a shining light,
like a shining light,
like a shining light,
will brighten the world, will brighten the world,
like a shining light,
will brighten the world,
will brighten the world,
will brighten the world,
will brighten the world.
Before I begin, I just wanted to mention, if you did go and video, tape yesterday for the video and you didn't see yourself today, you will see yourself in the next couple of days. So everyone will be seen if you were taped. We just have some time crunches, so please come back Thursday and Friday, and that's why we did that. Can't threaten you with hell, so. So in A.A. Milne's book, When We Were Young, some of you may know that book, Piglet sees Winnie the Pooh walking in circles, and he's looking down. And Piglet asks him what he's doing, and Pooh says, well, I'm tracking something. And Piglet asks, well, what are you tracking? And Pooh says, well, that's just what I ask myself. What? Pooh says he doesn't know what he's tracking until he catches up with it. Piglet is very concerned it could be a woozle. So Pooh continues on his way, follows the set of tracks around a tree twice. Then Piglet decides to join him on his search, and they suddenly notice there are two sets of tracks around the tree. Well, then they think there might be two woozles. So suddenly, Piglet remembers there is something he has to go home to do, and he needs to do it right now. So he leaves. So then Christopher Robin comes along, and he says to Pooh, so first, you went around the tree twice by yourself, and then Piglet went around the tree with you. And then you went around a fourth time by yourself. Is that right? And Pooh said, wait a minute. And he sat down and he thought. And then he took his paw and he fitted them into one of the tracks. And then he scratched his nose twice. And then he stood up and he said, yes, I see now I have been foolish and deluded. Perfectionism can be like the elusive woozle, tracking a creature that is simply not there. And I know that because I'm a perfectionist. It's not a big secret. But here's proof if you need it. I got disturbed a little when I emailed someone and I spelled perfect like that. I took it as a sign from the universe. But did you know that there's a good kind of perfectionism and a bad kind of perfectionism? So the bad kind is that kind that's bad for us, bad for our health, bad for our minds and our bodies. The good kind is the kind that helps us to strive toward excellence. It helps us to change our behavior. And that's called adaptive perfectionism. And that's what Pooh demonstrated. So he realized, oh, gee, I kind of did something wrong, and he was okay with it then. And it's like the Zen master that tells his students, when eating, just eat. When reading the newspaper, just read the newspaper. Don't do anything other than what you are doing at the moment. Until one day, one of his students notices that the master is sitting at the table. And what is he doing? He's eating and reading the newspaper. And the student says, man, I got him now. And he confronts the master about his contradiction to his own teachings. And the master replies, when you eat and read the newspaper, just eat and read the newspaper. So you see, even the master does not hold on to his own standards so tightly that he cannot go with the flow, so to speak. He's practiced adaptive perfectionism. And that practice helps us to handle the unexpected. Because if only perfection will satisfy us, we are likely to be woefully unfulfilled for the rest of our lives. And folks that can't laugh at themselves, well, they're in trouble, really, because they will get unhealthy both in their minds and their spirits. People who want to be perfect all the time have trouble moving on. Well, there was a psychologist who needed to work with people with autism on their coping skills when things would go wrong. If their schedule, you know, kind of went astray, they really like, kind of a regimented schedule. So she was trying to think of a way, you know, what am I going to do to teach these folks, you know, what to do if the schedule goes awry? And she came up with something called the rubber chicken method. And so what she told them is, okay, so if something goes wrong, you need to not be so serious about it and just take the metaphorical chicken, rubber chicken, and bonk yourself on the head with it and say, oh, well. Or you can actually take the real rubber chicken and bonk yourself on the head with it and say, oh, well. Funny story about the chicken. Now, honestly, I just need to tell you right now, okay, this is just our little secret. I don't have a thing for chickens. I was raised on a turkey farm. But I need to tell you about this chicken. So I was looking for a prop, this particular prop, and I remembered a dog toy that I had seen in one of the pet stores when I was getting food. And so I went back to get the rubber chicken toy because it was perfect. It looked a little bit like that, a little smaller. But they were out of the perfect rubber chicken. But they had these. Well, you see that this is not a perfect rubber chicken. Definitely not even close. So then an online search produced, what do you think? A perfect rubber chicken. Well, This is what it turned out to be. Do you all see where I'm going with this? So I am on the phone calling all over Northwest Ohio trying to find the quintessential rubber chicken. I'm in a panic. My son is laughing hysterically. And my partner says, "You do see the irony, don't you?" But I got my chicken. But not without eating a little crow. So it's hard for people like me to kind of let go. But it is good to have some things not work out. And that's what John Carroll from the NPR series This I Believe said, and I want to leave you with his words. "Last week, my granddaughter started kindergarten, and as is conventional, I wished her success. I was lying. What I actually wish for her is failure. I believe in the power of failure. Success is boring. Failure is how we learn. I've been told of an African phrase described as a good cook as someone who she who has broken many pots." If you spent enough time in the kitchen to have broken a lot of pots, probably you know a fair amount about cooking. I once had a late dinner with a group of chefs, and they spent time comparing knife wounds and burn scars. They knew how much credibility their failures gave them. So my granddaughter is a perfectionist, and she will feel her failures, and I will want to comfort her. But I will also remind her of what she learned and how she can do whatever it is better next time. I probably won't tell her that failure is a good thing. It's not a lesson you can teach a 5-year-old. I can tell her, though, that it's not the end of the world. And indeed, with luck, it is only the beginning. Let's join together in peace like a river and stand in body or spirit. And let's just do the first second just twice. I change things. Sorry about that. Yeah, I'm sorry.
It's the chicken's fault.
I think she was modeling imperfection for all of us. In closing, some words inspired by Melody Beatty. Belonging unlocks the fullness of life. Gratitude turns what we have into enough. Acceptance turns strangers into friends. So as we extinguish our chalice and go forth this morning, may you know that you belong. May you be grateful that you are enough. And may you go radically accepting yourself. May it be so.
Y'all are putting a lot of pressure on me. It's like every day. It's just like, okay, we meet every morning, and I try out my material on my committee. So it's Wednesday. Today, sometime today, SI will be half over. So this is the day that you kind of pick up your pace and think of the things, the SI things that you do at every SI that you haven't done yet, that piece of tie-dye that you haven't quite gotten to yet. It's also the day that the SI maladies start to set in. The sunburn from the quad, the bug bites, the other bug bites, the bug bites on top of bug bites. Hopefully not bruises from bicycle pedestrian collisions, but those happen. So the shout outs today go to our nurses, Paul DeFranco, Linda Kinsey, Tommy Krasik. You know, they man the boo-boo station. They generally sit at the back of the sanctuary, and they get out on the cart and they respond if we've got a call, and they keep us all healthy. There are also some folks who helped a lot to get this going but didn't make it here, in some cases because of some pretty major boo-boos of their own. And so I would just want to lift them up. Carolyn Stevens was one of the RE coordinators, had some surgery and some complications. She's doing well. She's probably doing more than she should be doing. But was not able to make it here. Elizabeth Riley, who is my wife, is one of the youth adult co-chairs and had a back injury just before SI. So for those of you who want to know, I text her regularly. She is doing much better. She is improving, but slowly. The Reverend Evan Carvel-Zemer is just incredibly important for working with youth programming, and also she has recruited the ministerial staff. She was kind of helping me translate, like, from me to minister and from minister back to me. And she is sorely missed. From what I understand, their son Owen is improving, who was born prematurely, is improving steadily, hitting the milestones he's supposed to be hitting. And finally, Allison Reed is our fundraising coordinator. She's the fundraising half of the Melanie Peskin Scholarship Fund work. And she Facebooked, she has been coming to SI for 29 years with only a few breaks, and very disappointed that she could not make it this year, but a work thing took precedence. So I lift them up and keep them in your thoughts. We've gotten some fairly steady feedback along two lines. One is, I don't really want to use the mobile site, and the other is, we want your cell phone numbers. I hope those aren't coming from the same person, because there's a little contradiction there. There is a cell phone number that is going up on the mobile site. If you want to get in touch with me for the purposes of announcements, it is a Google Voice number, which is a thing that we recently discovered, which means it's a number that has been generated and it's tethered to my phone, and then I can make it disappear. So if you're hoping to get my number to stalk me after SI, you are out of luck. I am just constantly amazed that there were times not too long ago when people ran SI without cell phones. And in fact, when we were at Kenyon, we had cell phones, but it was Gambier reception, so we kind of didn't have cell phones. But the last 2 years, we've had decent reception, and I don't know now how we would do it without it. It's kind of like my in-laws raised 12 children before there was Velcro. We talked in our meeting today about first-timers. We have 83 first-timers out of 550 campers. Basically means one in seven of you is a first-timer. And that's a higher percentage than we're used to, and we probably always need to do more. We have done more with first-timers since I was one of them, but we always need to do more. One of the things is a first-timer public service. I've gotten some feedback about, you keep using these acronyms, please remind us what they are. So here we go. The SIPC is the Summer Institute Planning Committee. That is what I am the chair of. And our job is just to sort of oversee everything. And you have the contact information for Liz Bright if you have questions about facilities. And you now have the Google Voice that goes to my phone. There is also the SIYP, which is more commonly called the Youth Panel. And that is a separate but equal body that does just the youth, and it is comprised of adults and youth. So that's the poster of the mugshots that you see at the information station. And there's the YAP, or the Young Adult Panel, which does the same thing for the young adult programming. Then there's the YAY space. So that's not a committee, that's an actual space, and it stands for Youth and Young Adult. And that is the space that is Bailey Lounge. That is what that space is being used for. If you're in Bailey and you want to use the lounge and there's a bunch of young adults and youth there, we're sorry, but we needed that space. And we needed a space that was not the youth dorm, because young adults are not allowed in the youth dorm for safety reasons, and was not the young adult dorm because youth are not allowed in the young adult dorm for safety reasons. But we did want a place that they can get together, because we do try to keep them separate for safety reasons, but at the same time, we recognize that there's a whole bunch of people that are in youth programming this year and will be in young adult programming next year. And rather than you're not allowed to know anything about the other side until you cross over, this is a way to mix them up. So if you've heard YAY space or seen YAY space, that's what that is. And then there is CSIC, which is an Oberlin thing, not an SI thing. That stands for Conference Services Information Center. It is the central door at Stevenson, and then to your left. The most important thing for you all to know about CSIC is that's where Lost and Found is. And so people tell me that stuff is lost, and I say, check the Lost and Found in CSIC. And people say, I found a thing, and I say, give it to the Lost and Found in CSIC. So that's where you go for that. People give me stuff, and that's okay, because I'll get it there eventually. But, like, somebody gave me a very nice arrowhead pendant the first night, and then I didn't wear these shorts again until today. So I kind of forgot. So if you lost an arrowhead pendant the first night, and since it wasn't in CSIC, you thought it was lost forever. It isn't. Somebody gave it to me, and you can intercept me on my way there, or you can look at CSIC later. I got kind of ranty last night about our interaction with staff, and I'm going to try and not get so ranty, but I do want to just sort of continue that conversation. As I said last night, if you see Jessica around, it is perfectly all right for you to strike up a pleasant conversation with Jessica and say hi. That is great. She's a lovely person. She's great to talk to, and she loves people. That's why she does what she does. It is not okay to get into an argument with Jessica about anything that's going on, either if there's something you don't like, either it's an SIPC decision, or it's an Oberlin decision above her, or it's something that we negotiated. And in any of those cases, it is not going to change because you argue with Jessica. As I said last night, if you want to argue, you can argue with me. I'm pretty good at it. Good news. The Cowhouse Creamery is an independent ice cream store on 55 East College Street. They are offering a 10% discount to anyone with an SI name badge for the rest of the week. I haven't been there, but I've heard the reviews, and their ice cream is reported to be very, very good. And I will say, this is a business that actually announced it was going out of business over the winter. And then they were able to bounce back. So it's a really nice local business to support. And they got in touch with us to let us know about this. An announcement from Camper Maryland Devlin. There is free theater available on campus tonight, Thursday, and Friday at the Hall Auditorium, which is just before you get to the higgly mess that is the Oberlin Inn construction site. Tonight, All's Well That Ends Well. Thursday, Treasure Island. Friday, Crumbs from the Table of Joy. And very near the Cowhouse Creamery. The youth are building their community Vesper service around a community collection, community-wide collection of joys and concerns. You are encouraged to visit their table in Stevenson and write out a joy or a concern and drop it in their box. Their table is the alcove that is not the information station. So check that out. They really want to do this as a community-wide thing. And you'll be supporting that effort and making those intergenerational connections. The Melanie Peskin Scholarship Fund provides scholarship help to prospective SIers with financial need with priority for first-time attendees. The bookstore is selling raffle tickets to benefit the Peskin Fund. One is raffling off the drum that belonged to Melanie Peskin and that she drummed on for many, many SIs. The other is raffling off a number of lovely art objects. So please do that. That is the community's main fundraising for the Peskin Fund. But not the only one. The young adults have come up with a novel idea, which began as hit a young adult with a pie in the face, and is now including SI celebrities, including Alan Halperin, last year's SIPC chair, the SI fairy, Nathan Staples, and yes, Scott Pifo. They will be, so this is going on Thursday evening around dinner time. So start the auction's starting around 5:45 to 6 o'clock. And then we're going to do that going into Peak and the Euchre tournament. Speaking of Peak, for first-timers, Peak is just the damnedest thing you ever saw. Central to Peak is people bringing white elephant-type gifts in opaque bags, and then what happens to them, you just have to see it to understand. But we are collecting Peak prizes. We are collecting them in the meeting room in Stevenson that is opposite the information center. So as you go through the alcove information center on this side, and then there's a wall, and if you follow that around, there's a glassed-in meeting room. That's where Peak prizes will be collected from now until tomorrow night. Some members of the RE team, yes, I see at least one, are wearing rainbow scarves. Can we have some modeling of the rainbow scarves, please? Rainbow scarves are people who, like all the RE people, have been background checked. They're wearing them so that children know those are safe adults for them to approach. If they're on campus and they're lost or have a problem or otherwise need an adult to talk to, they have been getting that message at RE, and you can go ahead and, if you know, assuming that you are comfortable with it and want to take advantage of that, you can tell your children if they need something and they don't see an adult they know, they're welcome to approach the rainbow scarf people. Our celebration of the marriage equality decision has been moved to tonight after early Vespers. The Melanie... I think I'm done. Am I done? Oh, I have a special announcement from George Buchanan.
Two things. on Friday night, we'd like to celebrate the lives of those folks who've been at SI in the past and died in the last year or two and are not able to be here with us. So we'll just take several minutes, the Friday night Vespers, and we will remember those folks in a loving, gentle way. If you have the name of such a person, and if you could give me two or three lines of information about them, not so much what they were, but what's a good memory of that person. And so be in touch with me. I'm George Buchanan, Reverend George Buchanan. My phone number is on the chaplain list, which is in OSIRIS and is also on the mobile site if you're willing to use that. Thanks, folks. Oh, the other thing, there is the 12:30 today. Reverend Lynn is collecting more responses. Today, you saw what today's question is. I will be helping out. I will be going around the cafeteria and inviting you to, if you haven't done so, to make a contribution. There's only a few slots left, so if you don't speak your piece soon, you won't get up on the wall.
I have some late-breaking announcements, like literally coming through on my phone. So hold on. For those of you who have a work shift in the game room over by the Cat in the Cream, you no longer have a work shift. Don't worry about it. That was a miscommunication that we needed that as a work shift. It is no longer a work shift. If you are work shifting to set up for the community dance, meet John Murphy in the root room of the Carnegie Building at 5 p.m. to unload equipment, please. So be in touch with John. If you had the game room work shift, please see John about rescheduling or repositioning your work shift. A couple reminders. The third of the World Cafes will be this afternoon in the late afternoon shift in the Fellowship Hall. The first two were really productive. Remember that this is your opportunity to have a voice in how we continue to build SI. And second, It was mentioned before, the video question of the day for Reverend Lynn is, have you ever acted unlovable but someone showed you love anyway? Have a great Wednesday.